I'm Ryan Betson.
I'm Max Cooper.
And this is our early hands-on preview of Skate. So thanks to EA Australia, Max and I were kindly invited to a preview event where we got to see, have a chat with some of the devs around the latest in the Skate series, and then also have some hands-on as well. But let's jump into some of the points of the briefing. Max, actually, before we do that, let's discuss sort of our history with Skate. Now, I personally, I have always been more of a Skate fan than I was ever a Tony Hawk fan once it became available to me. Something about the whole Flick It system really tickled my brain as a skater back in the day. To me, it made more like logical sense, more consistent sense. Plus, the Hall of Meat's an absolute blast. So, since Skate 3, back on my PS3, I have been eager, hungry for a follow-up, a sequel, and this one was almost commented into existence, as they said, as part of the preview. But for yourself, Max, what's your history with Skate?
I've played all three Skate games. I own them all.
I haven't played the Wii one.
I think I've got Skate 3 as a physical disc on the shelf behind me somewhere.
Yeah, mine's in a cupboard.
It's rad. It was that more... Basically, the way I always explained it was Skate is to Tony Hawk's as Forza is to Need for Speed.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, one is more arcadey, but one is like semi arcadey.
Like, you know, okay, maybe Skate's more like Forza Horizon in the fact.
Correct.
That
so something like Skater XL or Session would be more.
It's still grounded. But it has those fun moments of like the Hall of Meat and all of that silliness is still there, but it does take itself a little bit more seriously in the way in its gameplay and its design and its level design specifically.
Speaking of, let's get into that. So the dev team handling this one is a team by Full Circle. We were introduced to, I believe it was the creative director, sort of head of like various different roles. There was three dudes and one presenter. Part of the conversation, they talked about what their plan was heading into this new version of Skate. As they mentioned, it was commented into existence. This is real community focused compared to the other ones, where this game is not single player like it once was. It is now always online. It is cross play. It is free to play. It has gone through the better part of 3 years of playtesting. And as you would have all seen from the trailer, there's gone out in the last 24 or 48 hours. It is hitting early access on September 16th, so right around the corner. Went from not knowing anything to be able to go hands-on with it to then there's a date, all in like a month. It's exciting. It's fascinating. So... the way it's worked is they have created a new city. It is called San Vansterdam, with the idea of this world is that kind of skateboarders rule the roost. Like even a lot of the city, how the architecture is designed is very much around skateboarding as a principle. So they've really put that thought in there. And of course, where I do have it, there is up to 150 players per server. So if you jump online, you are skating around the world with 150 other people, which is crazy. So back in the day when we played Skate, you'd see people come around, you know, but they were all NPCs, never really anyone of note. Where now, Max, you and I could go skating. You and I could go hit a spot together.
Yeah, I was... So when this first, you know, as they mentioned, commented into being, I was real skeptical about a live service Skate game. Because that's not what they've traditionally been. Not that they've had like a campaign or it's essentially you go do your, you know, mark your spots, get your territory as you progress through and more things open up. And it seems like it's the same situation here, but it has the live play element. And one of the things Skate is known for is the ability to drop ramps in, move obstacles around. And my first thought was, is there going to be 149 other absolute
drop
bankers just dropping shit all over the city. This is going to be in my way.
Because like in the trailer, that was actually one of the questions that I asked during the discussion, because we had seen the trailer at the beginning of the session and then at the, end, then it was questions. Well, first thing I noticed as part of the trailer, there's a moment where a character is like grinding on a rail, and then out of nowhere, a barrier comes in, and then someone clashes into it and dies. I was like, oh, no, that's not good. So it does appear that the drop-in is for everyone. Like, that piece of gear, that piece of park is going to be there for everyone. Although player collision is not a thing. Like, you don't have to worry about running the same spot and hitting people.
Yeah.
But you would have to be aware of the pieces of terrain that are placed.
So obviously that also has its benefits as well as its, you know...
Disadvantages.
Thank you. That's what I'm looking for. Because some people are just going to be better at building spots than what I am.
Well, very similar to like Death Stranding 2, which is a weird example. I'll get there in a second. Is a key requirement in that game is for you to build, you know, bridges and other things to help make the terrain more traversable. I didn't build shit. I relied on everybody else to make me good paths. And I think in Skate, like if there are spots where like, how am I going to do this? I'm intrigued to see what people can do. So,
because obviously in previous Skate games, you could create your own skate park and upload it, and people could download it and play on it and do all those kinds of things.
Yeah.
But in this, what appears to be essentially a live-in city.
Now, saying that though, just to clarify, in the early press hands-on that we had access to, whether it just be circumstance, I did not cross paths with anyone. I think the servers that we had access to were like unique, and it was just me. There's NPCs around, but like I never found another player. I don't know whether that was by design or just by coincidence, because I as long as we had access to the hands-on, I played it until literally the server cut off on me. Like, I was literally running a spot as a pew, and shit's to start closing. I'm like, oh, man. I played it the last possible minute. But yeah, I never saw another player. So, although we can't speak to it in that concept in full delivery,
yeah,
it's a cool concept nonetheless. Sorry, I'd been to cut you off. You were still talking about the idea of like all these peoples.
That's all right. But essentially, it's kind of just more of what I loved about Skate.
Oh, exactly, yeah.
But for the first time in a bigger location, because although Skate 1 and 2 were kind of cities, and Skate 3 was, you were kind of relocated to what was essentially a large university ground, the map on this seems significantly larger than we've ever had before.
Absolutely. And it is all sectioned off, as there are, I think it's 4 or 5 different areas of the city that you can see. So by what you'll do is you start in one area. I think it's called like New Hampshire or something. And one, you're in there, you're checking your notes.
Yeah.
Yes. Wait.
I'll tell you what it is.
Yeah, so you start in that area, and then as you do missions throughout, you build up reputation, you build up your level, then the next area unlocks and so on and so on. Now, granted...
Hedgemont is where
Hedgemont, you start. Thank you. I'm glad. See, this is where I'm glad that you take notes. Like, I take notes like this, and I'm looking at them, and I can't even read my own handwriting. So I'm very lucky I have you, Mac. You are much better at this record-keeping than I am. But... yeah, so as you sort of go there, in the time that I had access to, it was probably only a couple of days, really. I got to like level 5 in the first area and like 4 in the other one. Never got to really experience the other ones, but the areas do feel different. Like, one was more of a harbor area, one was more like an inner city suburb. So there is a difference in feel between the spaces and obviously how the spots work. The challenges, though, excuse me, seem to be relatively similar in that there is like, collect the bearings, which is, here's a run. You need to do X amount of tricks or hit X amount of rails or spots or whatever in this run and collect all X amount of bearings. There is the standard, here is a spot. Here are your list of things you should do. You don't have to do them in one run. But if you do them in one run, there's a bonus point. But you just hit the bank as many times as you can. Hit the fun box as many times as you can. Then there are the haul of meat, which I didn't see as many of, but consciously I did play more of the other missions instead. Were there any other ones that I sort of missed?
Yeah, so there's the own the spots, which is what you said. There's one spot, and you have to do. You get to do like one sequence on it, whether that be a flip trick, a grind, a grab. And then there's the bearings, as you mentioned, which is essentially your runs. You'll have a list of tasks, and you'll get the bonus for doing it all in one hit. And then there's the sessions, which are a timed scenario where it's like hit X amount of this, X amount of that.
Yeah.
Z amount of this, and then
there's the
Hall of Meat, but I think it's I don't think it's changed. I don't think it's called Hall of Meat anymore. It's something different.
Yeah, I think which is a shame because it was a really good name. Remember.
I can't for the life of me remember what it's called.
Can you just chat for a second? I just gotta get the front door.
Yeah, no worries. So you know, gameplay wise, it is very similar to that. To what we've seen before in Skate 1, 2, and 3. That's all right. It's just more in that.
But sorry, you were saying?
I was just saying that gameplay-wise, it is still very similar to that of Skates 1, 2, and 3, but it's more of a open world style setup in your point-to-point. And like, although the map's large, I wouldn't say that it's too big to essentially like skate around and find your spots, but they're also aware of the fact that it is quite large, so there are fast travel points around the city. There is a I can't remember the term they used for it, but there is essentially like a subway system that is not a subway, it's above ground, and you can just skate the metro loop essentially.
It's kind of like a monorail, but not quite.
It's like a ring road through the city for skateboarding. But I can't, they used a specific term, but I can't for the life of me remember what it is. It'll be interesting to see, because obviously it is launching into early access. Mm-hmm. It will be interesting to see how fast and often updates roll in.
Well, that's the big thing. So part of the presentation, they did touch upon like what was season one. It was called Meshen Sesh. Fuck, my handwriting's disgusting. So it will be doing seasonal style things, as it is, you know, what will essentially be a games as a service. They discussed that in the first major season, one of the things that we're going to have access to is more music tracks, because even that's a whole interesting way of doing it here. Additionally, they will be bringing in like Dark Slides and Impossibles, which are currently not available in the title. So they are planning on building more and more as they go, whether it be here's more music, here's more terrain, here are some more tricks. I imagine they will sort of alter them and adjust them. The question was asked, like, hey, are you going to step outside of skateboarding? Kind of like a Riders Republic. And they're like, no, they're probably going to stick to skateboards, which is good. Because if you want that, go play Riders Republic. But if you want skateboarding, you play skate.
Yeah.
But in terms of the music, we'll touch upon that for a moment. Because music has always been a big part of extreme sports games. And if we think of Tony Hawk's, the soundtrack for 1 and 2 are pretty much like well-renowned. It's like some of the best things, 2 specifically. Although I would argue that Skate has never had a similarly level, like S-tier soundtrack, it has always been quite good. So they mentioned that there will be some quite noticeable acts. There's Turnstile is one they mentioned, as well as Earth, Water, Fire, you know, best known for that September song, but I think that's the one they used. Throughout the world, as you skate around, like there are speakers, there are cars, and you can hold down L3 and you actually pick up, essentially absorb the song. It's almost like, what was the app back in the day, Shazam? Like the old Shazam app, where you're like, oh, hang on, I like the sound of this, and you hold L3, boom, and then it becomes part of your internal jukebox, right, your audio player. So if you go around and you pull them out, like in the early stages that we had access to, a lot of it was kind of generic. It's not all locked in. They did mention it probably wouldn't happen. In the time that we were playing it through Steam, you popped around, we played some together. So it is running through the Frostbite engine, which is, if anything, it's showing the versatility of Frostbite, like, insane. Like, what it can do is remarkable. But from a gameplay perspective, visually, it isn't as, like, grounded or realistic as, say, Skate 3 was. And the idea is it is a bit softer in the character models. Not quite like a cartoonish Fortnite level, but it is certainly a softer, more cartoony look.
You're definitely playing an avatar, not a person.
Correct. Yes. Great way to explain it. And as you play, that's where you start to unlock all your attire. There are little mystery boxes that you unlock using in-game credit
currency
that you, like, granted there will be microtransactions. In the time that I played, I didn't go hunting for them, nor did I feel inclined to do so. So I didn't really get to see them, but what I had access to, I could, it was all random. It was loot boxes, but it's all internal currency that I unlocked pretty easy just by playing. Like, and then on top of that, you, a lot of the missions get to run, like they redo over like every 24 hours, I think. So you could go run it again and still get your dollar redos, etc. But granted, the PC that I'm playing on is pretty powerful. Like, it'll get the job done. I didn't have any hitch or any problems. Now, the time that you played it here, you didn't see anything?
No.
No? But how do you feel with your time with the Flick controls? Like, it feels exactly like they used to, and it's awesome.
Yeah, it feels exactly like you used to. So when you do boot it up for the first time, it does offer you two separate control setups. So I think one was the classic, which is essentially how Skate 1 through to 3 has played. And then I believe they had like the smart Flick.
Yeah.
Which I think put more emphasis on, like, instead of pushing X or square to push wire, either front foot or back foot, you just hold forward to go. And I think they made the Flick tricks a little bit easier.
Yeah, they did have they have made some adjustments for accessibility, because that was a question that was asked as part of the call as well, which is really considerate, because something I hadn't thought of. Like, you need to have some reasonable, like, workable thumbs.
Yeah,
and if you were to have any movement challenges or any physical disabilities that would prevent you from free movement with your hands, it would render the game unplayable. But they have certainly put in some things to make it more adjustable, which is great. What else? Oh, just to clarify on the microtransactions as well, I did note here they are cosmetic only. There is no pay to win. Which is to be assumed. Yeah. That's pretty common practice these days.
I mean, well, it also makes sense. I don't know how you would pay to win in, like, Skate, because, you know, there's no, it's stats, not like there's stat, yeah, there's no stat points like in Tony Hawk's. It'd be really bizarre if.
But yeah, as I said, like, in terms of the gameplay for me, I genuinely couldn't put it down. If I wasn't playing it, I was doing something probably more productive. additionally, like, I was, unluckily, it happened to become accessible to me just as I became unemployed. So I did spend a good hunk of my time playing Skate and enjoying it thoroughly. For me, it felt like Skate of old, right? It felt like I was going back to, was it, shit, 2011, if it probably would have been, playing Skate 3 on the PS3. Just jamming, ripping it up. Jason Lee was in it. It was incredible. So Jason Lee, not in this one. But this may become my... Because we often discuss, for a while there, Max, for yourself, Destiny 2 was the game that you were married to. Like, it was the games as a service that you always sort of messed about with. Always had it installed. I think Skate will be that for me. Because I, like I said, I really enjoyed just picking it up, and because a lot of the missions, for lack of a better term, are repeatable, and they'll always be putting new ones in, even, and on top of that, the world is built in such a way that you could do a stack of different things.
Yeah.
You could just be like, oh, let's just hit this bank differently and see what we can do. So I it will certainly be a game that I will play pretty much consistently. It will be my go-to game for when I just need a chill. And I'm curious on how it plays through the portal as well, because if I can play it in handheld and it's somewhat responsive, because obviously the flick motion, like timing is key, because if you don't flick up enough, you'll just hit the side of that that ledge. You won't get the air that you need. You won't clear the gap. But if there's a little bit of input delay, I am curious to see how it plays in the portal. But playing on PC with a Xbox Pro controller, whatever, it did make me want to put the paddles in and have push so that my thumb never comes off the stick. I was thinking that might be a, you know, push and then, you know, allow for a bit more input. But I didn't mess with that, which I should have. But is there anything that we haven't covered?
Yeah, probably the biggest thing. Yeah. So obviously in previous skate games, you can get off your board and walk around the world.
Oh yeah, that's true. Going down the list, yeah. Essentially added parkour for adaptive climbing.
You can climb up walls. Like, granted, it's not like Tony Hawk's Underground where you can just double jump up the side of a building. Like, there has to be something for you to grab onto.
Like a ledge. But it seems pretty universal. Like, if there's a ledge, you can climb the ledge. There are identifiable, like, greenery up a wall, like very similar to the Uncharted yellow paint. Like, hey, there's a bunch of plants, you can climb the plants up the vines, I should say. But if there's ledges, you can climb ledges.
Mm.
Now, because when you were here, you were like, I want to see if I can get to the top of that building. And I watched you, like, literally climb the biggest building and just went pool to pool to pool to pool. You should have seen your face.
There's gonna be some crazy stuff that will come out of this. Like, being able to, climb buildings, parkour up the side of things, the ability to just spawn in your own kicker ramps and objects and stuff like that, I think is going to really... especially if the community like kind of gets behind it. One of the things that I don't recall if they covered is how long those things will stay in place. If I'm skating a session that someone else has set up, like, does all their stuff disappear like when they log out? Does it disappear if it's been like left inactive or not used for a certain period of time? I don't recall.
No,
I don't recall that ever coming up, and I kick myself for not asking that question at the time.
Me too. Because I put the questions in, I was like, how do you design... Like, the two questions that I had was around collision, and because they discussed that the entire city was built around the idea of everything being skatable. I'm like, well, there's a fine line between a city and then what becomes a giant fucking skate park. I'm like, if everything has a curved lip, it's not going to feel like a city. It's going to feel like a skate park or some weird art project. But to their credit, they answered the question. Like, look, we designed it with it in mind, and they're, like the lips on the, like, it's small details, like the lips on the footpath. There's a little lip, so you're not like boom, but you'll get a little bit of air off it. And then with the ability to get on and off your board with ease, it's very helpful.
One thing you can't do anymore is like beat the crap out of NPCs.
Yeah,
you can't swing your board anymore.
Now, granted, as I said, because when you were here, I let you play it and I just sort of wandered off so we'd have like unique experiences. One of the things I found that I remember in Skate 3 doing the Hall of Meat, like if you needed to like push yourself a little further, you land and you could like kick yourself off the ground and kind of keep that momentum going. I wasn't able to do it here.
You can.
I can? Okay, cool. I had a feeling it was just me. Because it looked like I had all the things to do it. I just couldn't nail it.
It's finicky and not as easy as it used to be.
Yeah.
But it can be done.
Because I remember one of the missions was like, you know, launch off here, land on this triangle canopy and then land off into a bin. And I hit the canopy and just stop. I'm like, can I get into the bin, please? And like, for whatever I could do, I couldn't work out how to do it. But anyway. We'll wrap this bad boy up. This is only a preview, but of course, this game is free to play. It is available September 16 in early access. They do have a season or a skate pass, as they're calling it, in the works. It will be coming. Personally, on a complete side note, this was a really, really lovely opportunity to be able to do. Like, in all the years that we've been doing this, very rarely do we actually do kind of preview things. But it was really nice to be invited, because we've done a couple in the past with EA. Skate was the one that, like, I was most keen. I just coincidentally emailed being like, hey, like, I think Skate's doing something with, like, the EA Insider program. Is there any way, like, obviously it's all NDA'd up the butts, but is there anything that we can get involved? And then literally our rep was like, well, lucky you emailed, because here you go. There's a presentation next week. I was like, get the fuck out. I'm so in. But yeah, 6M16, early access, 150 players per server, drop in terrain. You'll get to customize you to some extent. Bunch of cool little features. It's the same game. Like, it is, as mentioned, this game, Skate, only exists through the dedication, the commitment, and honestly, the harassment of people like you and I.
It really sets a bad precedent, actually, to be honest.
It kind of does. But
kind of like how we destroyed Sonic and remade that movie.
Which is a good choice, because those...
I mean, that
Sonic 3 is fantastic, and it wouldn't be as good if it looked like the old Sonic. But
it is definitely scary for gamers to have that kind of power.
But for people like you and I, who have loved Skate as a franchise for so long, for it to come back purely by popular demand... And then on top of that, that popular demand has come through in respect for what has come before it.
Yeah.
Them going, well, we know you guys are excited for it. We know you're keen, and we're going to treat it right. Because as it stands right now, this game feels like exactly the Skate I wanted. Did I envision that it was going to be a games as a service? No. But in the time that I played it, now granted, as we mentioned, in the press of access that you and I had, we didn't see any other players aside from I guess it was me, because I built me in the game and you played me.
Story of my life.
Yeah, just forever in my shadow. Granted, I didn't see all the players playing it at once, so I think in a full server it would be quite a fun experience. But being online didn't impact me, except for when they pulled the server because they took away my access because it was the end of the time and I was sad. But yeah, I don't see there being any problem with the games as a service. I think it's, granted, it's full of cosmetics, and that will be where the micros hang out. Now, EA don't have the best history when it comes to like DLCs and loot boxes and micros, if we think back to like Battlefield 2 as an example. Battlefront 2. But I think in skateboarding, like, be able to get cool decks, the clothes you want.
I mean shoes. This is purely cosmetic, so it's non-comparable, really.
Yeah, but what I'm saying is, like, when that's what we're dealing with, I'm like, okay, I'm okay with it.
Yeah,
because like if it's just like, hey, do you want to buy this Element or DC shoes pack, I'd be like, yeah, okay. Because like if you can get me like independent clothing, Globe, Flip, you know, any of the key brands that I grew up with that I used to skate and I used to wear, like, it would just be a nostalgia piece. What about you, Max? What are your final thoughts on the very small bit of time you've had with it?
Yeah, like I said, my original concern was, you know, oh damn, it's a live service game. But having played for a little while, it doesn't matter. I don't think it really matters. Like, am I going to be bummed if my internet's down and I can't play? Sure. But these days, I can't play most of my games anyway if my internet's down, because they're all digital and the keys won't fucking work.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, September 16th is right around the corner. Get ready to drop in. It's going to be fun. Like, and free to play. Like,
there's really no reason to not pick it up.
Yeah. My only concern, and like, obviously we didn't see this in the preview build, was like, hopefully the microtransactions aren't too in your face if they're like in menus. But
I hope they don't do a crash team racing and then they hide them from us and then out of nowhere, bam. But then again, if it's like, I don't believe there's any media early release build. It's like everyone will get it on the same day, from my understanding. Mm. So with it being a release into early access, I think they're going to have the luxury to really suss out some of these inconsistencies and sort of really alleviate some of those concerns. I think there's not going to be a surprise turn on of micros. I think they'll be live from day one. And
yeah, I mean, as long as it's not like, because obviously you mentioned that like the daily sessions that they have, hopefully there's not like you've hit your limit of dailies that you can do today, but if you want to watch a 30-second ad,
I think it'll
be purely cosmetic stuff. And it'll be because they're all brand named cosmetics, so they'll have to they'll have to pay some form of licensing fee.
Yeah,
it'll be the same with the music. Maybe some of the tracks will be, can you flip us a couple of bucks for some tracks that you want to?
Yeah, so that was one of the things they mentioned, like with the musical cycling out. They cannot at the time they weren't able to really articulate whether, you know, at the end of a season some songs will leave and some songs will stay, but. You know, yeah, little micros if you're able to buy like, you know, a mixtape essentially of like his couple of tracks that you might like. I think it's a great way to sort of help with that licensing. And if it means I can get cool boards and like classic boards as well. Like granted, I still physically skate occasionally with my son, but I'm nowhere near, shit, I wasn't very good back in the day either. But like I'm not in the scene as much as I once was. So if they're like, hey, here's this old Element board or here's this old flip board, I might buy that micro in a millisecond. Because if it's like, oh my God, it's like, you got to see, like, skating to me is nostalgic. And like, that's all I got out of playing this was awesome nostalgia, but in a new way. And I felt the challenges built on what had been done previously in a really fun, healthy way. Yeah, I'm with you. I can't wait. I want to play it now. It's bullshit. Yeah. I don't want to wait till the 16th. It sucks. But anyways, that does bring us to the end of our hands-on preview discussion for Skate. If you do have any questions, please let them know in the comments below. I am happy to answer them, either Max or myself, whoever can remember. Probably be me. I'll jump in the comments and I'll fill in the blanks if you have any questions. But big thank you to the team over at EA Australia for putting this opportunity in front of us. We really, really appreciate it. But until we're back flip-tricking and grabbing, I don't want to say that. Until we get back on the board, I'm Ryan Betson.
I'm Max Cooper.
And that was our hands-on preview of Skate.